and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
So it's Pentecost Sunday, it's good, and tonight I've titled my message, It's Time to Take a Step. Okay, turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to take a step. Awesome. Did everyone get told it's time to take a step, or did anyone miss out? No one missed out. We all know it's time to take a step. It's time to take a step. And I believe it's time to take a step into some uncharted territory, right? I believe as a church that we are on the edge and on the precipice of a new day, of a new future. I believe it for our vision builders as we come into next week. That's not just an event, but that is going to be a breakthrough moment for us as a church, you know, in our kids and in our youth, in our groups and in our services. I believe actually that God is calling us and causing us to take a step into uncharted territory. The Bible says, God says to his people in Deuteronomy 2:3, he says, you have been traveling around this mountain country for too long. Turn northward. I reckon the same thing for us. I believe for some of us here tonight, there's some decisions that we've been putting off, and it's time to take a step. There's a calling, and it's getting quiet in here. There's a calling and a gift on our life that we've been putting off. We've been trying to shy away some gifts and talents we don't want anyone to see that we've been putting off, but God's wanting you to take a step. There are some things that we've been going around for us in circles. We've been going around through the same things for a while now, and God's like, hey, it's enough. It's time to take some ground. It's time to take a step into a new land, into a new uncharted territory. And that's why we've called this series Pioneers, right? We're in this series called Pioneers because the very definition of a pioneer is to go somewhere, to step into something, to be the first to discover and settle a new country, a new idea, a new method, or a new activity. That's the definition of a pioneer. And it's a pretty bold statement to call ourselves pioneers. But as you read the Word of God, you'll actually find that in reality, God has called each and every one of us to be a pioneer. He has called each and every one of us to be a pioneer. And I, when I was learning in school, I don't know about you, I wasn't very good at history and all of that, but when I was learning about all the pioneers, and as I read the Bible about all the pioneers in there, I don't actually hear of one pioneer that never had to take a step. Right? I've never heard of one pioneer that was able to pioneer from their bedroom sitting on their Lazy Boy recliner. That's just not a thing. The very essence of being a pioneer is to go, is to take a step where no one else has gone before. And we are called to be that. We are called to be pioneers. And the thing is that God has a future for you. He has a plan, and he actually has a purpose for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You're not a mistake waiting to happen, right? Anyone glad? You're not a mistake. You're not purposeless. You're not meaningless in this life. You're not destined for mediocrity. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. But here's the thing about your future is that it's uncharted territory. Your future is uncharted territory. No one has and no one ever will be able to live your future because it's your future, because God has plans and a purpose for you. And God will do things in your life and will do things through you that he won't do through me and he won't do in me. It's your future and it has your name on it. There is a future with your name on it. And my question is, how long will we leave our futures unclaimed? How long will we wait? Will we hold back and not take a step and claim our future? But tonight, I believe it's time to take a step into uncharted territory that is our future. So tonight, we're going to come around Hebrews 12. I think the guys are going to put it up on the screen. And we're going to come around this verse mainly and hop around a little bit and stop and start. But it starts with, therefore. Little hot tip. If this is a college-free tip for you. If you ever see the word therefore in the Bible, it's always good to find out what it's there for, okay? So the Bible wasn't written, you know, like chapter 11, da-da-da-da-da, stop, chapter 12. It wasn't done like that. It was actually written. Books of the Bible were written, and it was later split up into chapters. So to find the context of what a scripture or what a chapter is trying to get at, sometimes you need to read either side. So it says therefore. So we actually need to go back and read Hebrews 11. And what we're shown in Hebrews 11, we're introduced to the hall of faith. It's like the Hall of Fame, but it's the Hall of Faith. And we're told of all these people that did incredible things by faith. And but it starts, Hebrews 11 in verse 1, by qualifying the whole chapter and defining what faith is. And it says this: "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." So the very definition of faith is being confident and sure of things we hope for and things we do not see, which is a real challenge because in our humanity, in the way we kind of like things, we like facts, we see it, we believe it, right? But the Bible says we're actually not called to live by sight, but by faith, which is an assurance and a surety and a confidence in things we hope for and things that we do not see. And that's why all these people have been inducted into the Hall of Faith, because they took steps of faith into uncharted territory. That's why they are called pioneers. And then we read a few stories in there in Hebrews 11. We hear about Abel, right? He brought a better offering than his brother Cain to God. But who knew what to bring to God? Who knew what a good offering was? This is the first time. This is uncharted territory. I know I feel like we're a bit hard on Cain, but it's like he didn't really know. It had never been done before. What makes a good offering? What would God be pleased with? But the Bible says that Abel, because he had faith, brought a better offering than Cain. It talks about Abraham, how God had called him out of his country and said, "I'm going to take you to a new land." He didn't know where he was going, but he took a step of faith into uncharted territory. We hear about Joshua and the people of Israel, how they walked around the walls of Jericho for 7 days. And by faith, that these walls came down. On the seventh day, as they lit up praise, the walls came down. That had never happened before. It's not like, "Hey guys, remember it's Tuesday. Remember we do that thing where we walk around a fortified city and bring the walls down?" There was no running thing of this. That was the first time, but they kept on taking steps of faith and saw that future, saw what God had planned for them come to pass. So that's why they are all pioneers. But I find that so many of us find it so hard to take steps into our future simply because we can't see it and we want to see it, right? But you can't perfectly see your future because it's uncharted territory, because no one has gone there, because it's your future. See, God is wanting to do something in you and through you that he has never done before. Your future and what he has planned for you, a part of that plan and purpose he has for you, is something new. It's something he hasn't done before, which is pretty incredible. It's uncharted territory. That's why we've kind of got to reconcile in ourselves that we're not always going to know. In fact, I don't think we're ever going to know exactly what the future looks like. And that's why we're called to step by faith and to take steps. So I'm going to pack this. All right. So therefore, we're done. What's after therefore? Since. Therefore, sorry, we're just unpacking. This is a great way to read your Bible. Just unpack it bit by bit. It says, therefore, and it goes, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race that God has marked out for us. Okay, so it's saying since. Well, that word since means because. Because we're surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses or a group of witnesses, let's throw off the things that hinder us and the sin, and let's run. Let's take steps into our future, okay? So it's giving us a reason to run, okay? Because of this, let's do this, all right? So it's saying because we've got this great cloud or this great group of witnesses, let's run. So if you, all those, that cloud of witnesses is all those people you read about in Hebrews 11. And there's heaps, amazing men and women that did amazing things. But what you find if you delve into their lives a little bit is that they were far from perfect. They were basically just like you and me. They weren't perfect. They wouldn't be your first pick. They were not the most likely to succeed in their yearbooks. They're not the most talented, and they definitely made some big mistakes in life, right? I've asked myself many times, like, why is this person in the Hall of Faith? How did that person get in there with the life and the track record they had? But as you read it, and what Hebrews is trying to tell us is because of their flaws, because of their weaknesses, because of their lack of talent, that they are witnesses to something, that they are witnesses to the love, grace, faithfulness, and power of God. And that is good news to you and I. We can take heart, because Hebrews here is not saying, hey, because you're perfect, go run into your future. or because you're super talented and you've got it all together, run into your future. It's saying, no, actually, because in spite of all your flaws and in spite of your imperfections, because there's this great cloud, this great group of witnesses that can attest to God's love, God's grace, God's faithfulness, and God's power, that gives us reason to run. You don't have to be perfect. And some of us have already disqualified ourselves from the race. We've said, I've messed up too many times. I'm not talented. I'm not that person. I'm not that person. You don't have to be that person. And you don't have to be the most talented. If you read the Bible enough, you'll find that talent is not the basis for God doing something great in someone's life. He'll use a orphaned, murdering coward like Moses that had a stutter to deliver it. People of Israel, I deliver millions of people out of slavery. If he'll use him, I tell you what, he'll use you and I. So it's time, because of his love, this is what Hebrews is saying, because of his love, because of his grace, because of his faithfulness and power, it's time for you to step into your future. No more excuses. It's time to step into your future. So since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, back to Hebrews 12, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that easily entangles us. So there is this race that's marked out for us that we're to run and we're to step out. But there's things that will hinder us and entangle us and trip us up and will stop us from taking steps into the future. So here's three things that I think are some pretty big things that will stop us from stepping into our future. And the first one is fear. Right? At some point in all of our lives, maybe even right now, there's a fear that we're going to mess up. I don't want to take a step because what happens if I make a step and I fail? What if I step out and it all comes crumbling down? What if I step out and it's the wrong decision to make? So we end up not making any decisions, not taking any steps. But through our relationship with God, God actually rids us of our fear. That's a part of our relationship with him. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Simple as that. If you are walking with Jesus, you can't put a foot wrong. You shouldn't be afraid that you're going to stumble, you're going to make the wrong decision. If you are walking with Jesus, if you are in a relationship with God, I've got to tell you, you can't put a foot wrong. Romans 8:28 says, we know that all things work together for good for those who love him and who have been called according to his purposes. If you are praying, if you are asking God what's next, what do you want me to do? If you're seeking him as to what you should do, the very fact that you're seeking him and the very fact that your desire is to not put a foot wrong means you won't, okay? So let's throw off fear. And here's a little bit of a reconciliation as well. Even if you do put a foot wrong, because of the love, grace, faithfulness, and power of God, he will work all things together for good. You know, some of us here tonight, we're going, I am way off track. God will never use me. I've messed up. I'm out here. I'm so far off course. That's not the truth. God works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purposes. That's you and I. So let's throw off fear, right? Let not fear be a thing. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Throw off fear tonight. Don't let that get in the way, because there is no fear in his love, and he loves you perfectly. Second thing that I think can get in our way from stepping into our future is indecision. We don't want to take a step simply because we don't know which way to take the step. We're kind of like, should I do this? Should I do that? I don't know. There's this great quote actually by Charles Spurgeon. He says, the way to do a great deal is to keep on doing a little. The way to do nothing at all is to be continually resolving that you will do everything. We can so get in that thing where we're just going around the mountain, right? And we're like, I want to do this and I want to do this. And I saw this person do this and that could be cool. I could probably do that. And we're just all these things. We're resolving to do everything. And that is the surefire way to go nowhere. But the thing is all we got to do, as Spurgeon says there, the way to do a great deal is to keep doing a little. Just take a step and another step. See, God doesn't call us to jump, to leap. It's not too hard. It's just a step. It's just one step at a time. So we can get in this place of indecision, right? And so Romans 12:2 says, We can be in indecision because we don't want to mess up. But to make the right decision, I think we've got to understand a little bit about the will of God, okay? So if you know a little bit about the will of God, you'll be able to start making some right steps in the right direction. Romans 12:2 says, "Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is." And catch this, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I don't know what you've been told or maybe what you've been telling yourself, but contrary to popular belief, God's will for your life is good, pleasing, and perfect. It's not horrible. It's not ill-fitting. It's not mundane. It's not second rate. It's not as good as that person's. His will for your life, His future He has for you that He wants you to step into is good, pleasing, and perfect, which means it aligns with the unique gifts, talents, desires, and abilities that He's put on the inside of you. He formed you in your mother's womb, the Bible said. He had all the days of your life written out before you even took one breath. This is the same God. If He's put something in you, and if you have a passion for something, it's a pretty likely, I'll say 100% likely, that that thing is what God has for you in your future. That is a part of your future. Jesus said in Matthew 11, in the Message translation, He says, "I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you," right? That isn't to say that there's no hard work involved, because there is. We've got to put our hand to work. We've got to grow. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be hard times in life, because we all go through hard times. Even Jesus assured us of that. Thank you. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't do things that aren't automatically, you know, making us happy, because there's some things we've got to do in life, right? That just aren't like amazing, and we don't feel like butterflies and rainbows and all of that. But what it is saying is that God has created you with those gifts, with some talents that you know, some passions, some things you love to do. God actually put them there. And that means that in your future, those things will be involved. So if you have a passion for something, it's going to be a part of your future. But actually something that when I talk to a lot of people, one of the other things that we come up to with indecision is the fact that, hey, well, what happens if there's like not like a really, you know, easy decision, like that's good and that's bad and God would love that, but He would hate that. But it's actually like there's actually two good things, and I'm not sure which one to do. Actually, they both seem pretty good, and I'm not getting any clarity really from God. Well, here's one simple thing to do, because I feel like in that moment, one of our impulses is to take a step back and to stop. And then we just sort of think, and it's paralysis by analysis. We just keep thinking about it. We keep thinking about it, and we don't take any steps forward. But the thing about your future is that it only becomes clearer with each step. So if you stop stepping, if you stop moving forward, it won't become any clearer, and it actually won't do what you're hoping to do. You won't get any clarity. So one of my number one rules is just to keep doing the last thing He told you to do. Keep doing the last thing He told you to do. If He hasn't opened up a door, if He hasn't spoken to you about it, that's the thing. And we're going to talk about it in a moment. We can get down this path where we try and do things in our own strength. I've got to tell you, if God wants to speak to you, He will. If He needs you to walk somewhere and do something, He'll open a door. He'll make it happen. He's pretty powerful. He will do it. He's not restricted like that. But we can sort of get in and try and meddle a little bit. But if He hasn't opened up the door, if He hasn't spoken to you, it's probably because it's not time to move. It's probably not time to do that thing. He's just in the mode of preparing you and perfecting you and stretching you and getting you ready. But we don't take steps. Remain faithful. Keep doing the last thing He told you to do. Right? Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." See, if we want that lamp to keep lighting up the next step, we've got to keep stepping. We've got to keep moving. If we want that light to keep lighting up the path ahead, we need to keep moving, right? So even if we're not sure, we can keep stepping. We can keep taking steps, keep in the process, keep being faithful with what we are, and God will illuminate the next step. God will illuminate the next path, part of the path. And thirdly, it says, let's throw off the hindrances, right? Like the fear and the indecision. And also says, let's throw off sin that can entangle us. And I think one of the prominent sins, I guess, when it comes to our future is pride. I'll tell you what I mean. It's the pride of life. It's the danger of taking our life and our future in our own hands, trying to make it happen in ourselves. And it's pretty easy to do, but we end up exalting ourselves, our wants, our desires, and our will above God. And that's pride, and that's sin. And it's like, and I think this is probably one of the easiest ones for us to fall into, right? Is this pride where we go, oh, I'll just make it happen because it's not happening how I want it to. It's not happening when I want it to. So I'll just make it happen. I'll white knuckle it. But no, we're in the process. We're actually elevating ourselves, our wills, our desires, our timing, all of that above God, which is pride, which is sin. But here's what the Bible would say to us in a moment like that. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. We have plans in our heart, but it's God who actually directs our steps. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Surrender to God, essentially, and your plans will be established. Psalm 37:4-6 says, delight yourself in the Lord. Again, that word delight meaning surrender to God, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. I'm going to tell you, you don't need to take your future into your own hands because your future is in good hands. It's in the hands of the one that has formed you and fashioned you, that put the talents and the abilities on the inside of you. And maybe if we get the band up now, Hebrews 12, so we've gone through, you know, since we're surrounded, since we've got such evidence of God's grace, his love, his faithfulness, and his power, despite, you know, whether we think we're good enough or we're talented enough, because that's attesting to the fact that he'll use anybody. Since we've got this cloud, this group of witnesses, now as we throw off hindrances and sin, as we cast off fear, as we step out of indecision and just keep stepping and keep taking those little steps, as we begin to take the steps in the race that he's marked out for us, it says, keep your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of your faith. That word perfecter there hints to the fact that it's a process, that there's a process involved, that there's imperfections that God is perfecting, right? And so he's the perfecter of our faith. And what Hebrews is saying is if you'll just simply keep your eyes on Jesus, he will perfect you. With each step, he will shape you, he will grow you, he will perfect you and your faith to accomplish all he has planned for you. He will step by step, as you keep taking steps, he will grow you so into the person that is going to walk into the future that he has for you. Philippians 1:6, Paul says, I am sure of this, that he, meaning God, who has begun a good work in you, will bring it to completion. He has started a work in you and he will keep perfecting you step by step. All we've got to do is keep our eyes on Jesus. Not worry about, oh, what if I'm not the right person, or what happens? We can get so messed up with that. Simply keep your eyes on Jesus and he will perfect you. He will shape you. He will lead you. He will shape you into the person that's going to step in to your future. So it says he's our pioneer, but it also says first that he is the, it says he's the perfecter, but he's also the pioneer or the author of our faith. Which means it all starts with Jesus. It all starts with Jesus. He has a great plan and a purpose for every single person here, but it all starts with Jesus. He is the author of our faith, the start of our future. See, to step into our future, we need to step out of our past, and a step out of our past is a step towards Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.